We're continuing our series on Judaism from head to toe, and we're working our way down from head to toe. So now let's go down to the legs and discuss a little bit about where we walk, where we go, and our form of walking. So first of all, walking in general, we have good advice in the Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk says, "Belechtecha lo yitzar tzadecha." As you walk, don't walk tiny footsteps. A person should try to walk a normal gait when they walk, not such big steps that they're going to fall. The Gemara says if a person takes large steps, then that diminishes the light in their eyes. Kol haposeh p'siyah gasa. If a person takes large footsteps, the Gemara says it takes away from the light of his eyes. On the other hand, you're not supposed to walk tiny footsteps where you'll end up tripping over your own feet and being imbalanced. We walk a normal gait as we walk. This isn't halacha, this is good advice. You know, it does appear in halacha, but it's not an obligation, it's just good advice.
The Gemara in Brachot does go back and forth a little bit about this point.
Okay. And this is, as far as I understand, the bottom line. Is a person allowed to run? Yes. Should a person run? So long as you're not endangering other people. It says that running in public domain is considered irresponsible behavior. That is halacha. If you're running in a place where you could hurt people, so that would include probably riding a bike on a sidewalk where people could be walking in front of you every second. You got to figure out if there is a... What?
Driving a car would be dangerous.
I don't think driving a car is at a point where it's dangerous. That riding a bike is problematic because here in Jerusalem you don't have bike paths, and on the sidewalk you don't have room. It's very hard to do it in a safe way that doesn't endanger yourself or others. You have very difficult choices here. I used to ride a very limited path on the train tracks, which was legal. I think it still is. Police cars would go by me all the time, and believe me, they gave tickets for many other things. Riding on the tracks is legal at this point here in Jerusalem, but so that's a safe place. I mean, you're okay, you're not in danger of cars and pedestrians too much, but on the streets there really isn't room for you, and on the sidewalks it's dangerous. It's very, very tough, even on the bike paths. So where it says in the Gemara, and this is also in Halacha, that running in a place where people don't expect you to be running, so we're endangering other pedestrians, that's considered irresponsible behavior. But it was common practice that on Fridays everyone was running through public domain. So if it's a time that everyone's running, so that's okay. You could also be running. So that's okay. We are supposed to be running in places that we don't endanger others. We are supposed to be running when we go to do a mitzvah. So when a person's going to shul, it says the gait is supposed to be reflective of the fact that I'm going to do a mitzvah. So my gait is supposed to be that I'm running. It says the merit people get for going to learn Torah or for going to daven is very often the mere fact that they go there. So if you run, you show your enthusiasm. That's also a positive thing. As we see often in halacha, the attitude carries a tremendous weight. It's not just the action. So that's why a person is supposed to rush to shul. And when we leave shul, we do it in a hesitating way. When we go up to get an aliyah, we take the shortest route walking up to the aliyah. Yet when we go down, we take the longer route coming back to our seat. When we bring the Sefer Torah from the bima, the minhag is we walk down from the right side. And we come back up, we make a circle and come back up the right side as well. When they take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh, it is appropriate that we go out to greet it. When a Talmud Chacham comes, we should stand up and go to greet them. If it's the head of the yeshiva, we're supposed to remain standing till he gets to his place. If it's an old person, we're also supposed to stand up. Someone over 70, even if they're not Jewish, you're supposed to stand up when they walk in. I was with my grandparents in the old age home, Park Plaza, assisted living facility. And anytime someone walks into the room, I stand up, right? The whole place is over 70. That's the mitzvah of showing them honor. It's supposed to be in a way that they recognize you're honoring them, which isn't always so obvious. With regards to walking and running and dancing, so dancing in honor of Chasan and Kala is a mitzvah. That's considered using our feet for a mitzvah. The Midrash says every organ can be used for a mitzvah. Our lap, it says in the Midrash, can be used like a mizbeach, so that when they do a circumcision, you can place the baby on your lap as they do the circumcision. That's what we call in halacha to be a sandik. And that's why it's considered very meritorious, because a person's doing a very big mitzvah, he's partnering in the mitzvah of a circumcision, because he's holding the baby on his lap. That's why we try to honor a big person to do that. Sometimes people get very carried away with this. They have a grandparent who's not too learned in Torah, and they say, oh, EGBG, I better get a big tzaddik, I better get a big Talmud Chacham. And they forget that slighting their parent or grandparent is also a mitzvah. You're not supposed to slight someone. And so by looking for all kinds of concepts, which are legitimate, but not at the expense of hurting someone's feelings. So although people put a very big stress on this idea of who's the sandik of their son, and it is a big mitzvah to be someone's sandik, nonetheless, it's also a big mitzvah, and I think it even supersedes, to make sure not to slight the grandparents. You have Jewish grandparents, honor them, let them have that mitzvah. If they don't know, and in their mind, so long as you give them some honor during the circumcision, they're happy, so then you can do what you want. You're not hurting their feelings. You don't have to go and explain to them, hey, there's a bigger honor, I'm not giving it to you. If you'd lead a different lifestyle, I would. Obviously, don't tell them that. But you guys are laughing. I've learned sometimes better to state the obvious. Rav Pesach Zatzal used to quote, there's no such thing as common sense. If it's sense, it's not common. If it's common, it's not sense. I think that was Bertrand Russell, I think. If we can, we do try to give it to a big Talmud Chacham or a Tzaddik. That's a nice thing to do. So that's as far as our laps and our feet. Where can we go and where can't we go? So a Jew is not supposed to ascend to the Temple Mount. You have to have a certain level of purity, and we can't have that purity today, so we don't go there. The rabbis are of the opinion that we know exactly which parts are permissible and prohibited. The custom was not to ascend, and the majority of the rabbis, including the chief rabbis of Israel, were of the opinion that Jews should not ascend the Temple Mount. We should not assume that we know exactly where the Holy and the Holy of Holies and where the permitted and prohibited places are. If you are going to be serving in the IDF and they need you up there, then the rabbis, to the best of my knowledge, are all of the opinion that you may go up there. I am unaware of anyone that says that a soldier shouldn't go up there. Soldiers in the line of duty that are needed to secure the place, that's a different story. But the common citizen there, we are careful, we do not go up there. Even a soldier, if possible, should purify himself and should verify with his local Orthodox rabbi whether he should try to get out of it, whether he should try to get a different position or not. That you would have to ask your rabbi. We need to discuss a lot more things about walking. We don't walk into a church. We don't even walk into the shade of a church. A Jew is not supposed to benefit from anything that was used for idol worship, and we view churches and the like as things that are idol worship, and so we don't even benefit from their shade or walking on their floors or walking into them. The custom is that we cross the street. We don't even walk on that side of the street, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, "Archeik me'alei darkecha." A person should try to run to see a tzaddik. When we hear that there's someone pious around, it's worth going to see. It's worth bringing your children. When you have an opportunity to go to a funeral of someone pious, it's worth going to hear the eulogies. We grow from it. We learn from it. A person can be inspired by it. I mentioned to a student here that a year ago, I was at Yom HaZikaron, an event recounting the fallen soldiers, and his father was one of the soldiers they spoke about. Just listening to the stories of his father has inspired me till today. It gave me a whole new perspective on how pious a Jew can be. His father was a soldier, but his father was also many other wonderful things other than being a phenomenal soldier. Going to funerals is something that we always try to do. When possible, we go, we listen, we learn, we absorb, and we're also doing an act of kindness by walking with the deceased, the mitzvah of livaya. You only have to walk 4 footsteps. You don't have to go the whole way to the gravesite. It's a nice thing to go, but if there's a nice crowd, that's okay. Livaya is also a mitzvah with our guests. You have a guest, to walk them out, to walk them 4 footsteps out of the house is also part of the mitzvah of taking in a guest. If your guest does not know the way out, then the mitzvah is to walk them till the place that they know how to get home, which can sometimes mean a long distance. My father once visited us, and he had to go back to Jerusalem. I went in the car with him all the way back to the Machsom, to the security guard, into Jerusalem, and then took a bus back to our yeshuv. I traveled with him 25 minutes out, and then I took a bus back 25 minutes in from inside Jerusalem. He knew how to get around. Until that point, I wasn't confident he'd know how to get around. So I went with him in the car till there, and then I took a bus back home. That's the mitzvah of livaya. You accompany your guests to a point that they're secure and where they're going. Once upon a time, it used to be by foot. Today, you can also do it by car. Today, I visited a relative, and on my way out, he walked me till the bus stop, which was a big favor, because I would have been a little bit in doubt. I didn't know the neighborhood. And by his walking me, he saved me a lot of trouble and time with my kids. That's the mitzvah livaya. You walk out your guests. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to do it one better. He used to stand and wave. And that gave the guests the feeling that he's not rushing away from them. When he would walk, he'd walk with them and stand there waving. When you're visiting a rabbi like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, you know he has other things to do. And if he stands there and waves, he gives you the feeling, I want it to be with you. That extra few seconds gives a very positive feeling to the guest. That's part of the concept of the mitzvah of the mitzvah of levaya. So we discussed some of the mitzvot of walking. Children are supposed to run and have a good time. How do I know that? Because in the laws of Shabbos, when it says don't run on Shabbos, it says, but if you're a kid and you like running, then you can run on Shabbos, because that's your joy of Shabbos. So you see, the halacha also assumes that kids enjoy running. So that's a fine thing, let your kids run, even on Shabbos. Adults, ordinarily when you run, it's a tedious thing to do. So on Shabbos, you're not supposed to run, you're supposed to enjoy your walk on Shabbos. The Torah says, what's the passage? Just a second. In tashiv mi Shabbat raglecha asot chafatzecha biyom kodshi. Watch your feet on Shabbos. So our sages say, what am I supposed to watch my feet from? Watch your feet, that even your gait on Shabbos, the way you walk on Shabbos, should be different than the way you walk on a weekday. On Shabbos, you're supposed to walk in a way that you enjoy. If you enjoy skipping and jumping, skip and jump. If you want to run to shul, you could run to shul. But if ordinarily you'd enjoy walking in a leisurely way, that's the way you're supposed to walk on Shabbos. So we covered many different aspects of our legs, being sandik, the idea of levaya, be it walking 4 footsteps in a levaya, or walking our guests 4 footsteps, accompanying our guests, not walking into a pagan home, a house of pagan idol worship, or the mitzvah of walking to see a Talmid Chacham, walking in a levaya, and finally, the mitzvah of how we're supposed to walk on Shabbat.
So, you say you can run if you enjoy running?
You can run on Shabbos.
Right, wait. You can run if you enjoy it, but if you don't enjoy it, you mustn't run.
Shouldn't run on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you shouldn't run if you don't enjoy it.
Okay, but if you enjoy it,
then you could.
In Baruch Odin, I'm asking if this is also quoted in Halacha with regards to talks about your posture when you walk. Should it walk too upright?
So what's your question?
I think, is that Halacha? Like, how do you gauge how upright you walk?
Well, there are arrogant people that when they walk, they literally seem like their nose is high up there. They're looking down at the world. So when the Gemara, and then the Ramban also discusses this in his famous letter to his son, the Gemara discusses your posture when you walk. It's also Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara is discussing that the gait reflects the type of temperament the person has, and we'd like it to reflect a positive temperament. If you look around, you'll see very arrogant people have a way that they walk, and regular people have a way that they walk, and modest people have a way that they walk. Chazal say, just by looking at someone's gait, you can tell if they're a productive person or not. You see a person, the way they walk, you can see there are people who have nothing to do with their time. One of the things that they train security personnel is to pay attention to people's gait. The way people walk can indicate to you whether they're a shoplifter, whether they're not really interested in anything but committing a crime, or whether they're being productive. Your walk will indicate what you're up to in life. And Chazal also said that. Your gait should reflect productivity. Your gait should reflect humility. Our gait does reflect a lot about us. I don't remember the name of the author. There was an ex-FBI officer who wrote a book about body language. What's it called? I don't remember the name of the book right now. He writes that the most telling part of the body are the feet. When you talk to someone, your feet will reflect if you're interested in the conversation or not, if they're pointing towards the person or they're pointing away. When you talk to someone, if you really want to know if they're uptight or not, pay attention to what their feet are doing, if they're focused or not. The feet give us away. So yeah, like the Gemara said, our gait tells a lot about us. Yes?
Is there a halakha to keep the head down when you walk? To keep the head down with God? And how low, so
the Ramban discusses this in his letter. Our general assumption is that when we walk, we should see what's in front of us, and yet we're not supposed to look into people's windows. You're walking down a store with stores, you can see what they have for sale, but the idea is that one's head, again, it says if you walk like this, so it's as though you're always focused on something else. That's not a normal way to walk. If you're walking and you're all over the clouds, that's also not a normal way to walk. There's a person walks and usually looks about 4 or 5 footsteps ahead of them as they're walking. That's the regular way to walk. Any other questions? Okay.